This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route. If he's not the ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
It's not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Oh, hello. Oh,
hi.
Okay. Welcome.
Before we get into the episode, we had Kelsey of Kelsey and Alexis, who were a couple episodes ago, wrote in based on something Jamie said in last week's episode.
Yeah. So just a recap, I was on vacation recently with my kids and we went to the theme parks and I was complaining that, you know, one of us has to hang back with the 2-year-old while the other one gets to go on the ride with the 6-year-old. And, you know, that's the not so fun. And then Kelsey wrote and said, fun fact about her, she said she's worked at both Disneyland, Universal Studios, and SeaWorld San Diego, and the plight of passing around the children and sacrificing which attraction the adults can go on is very common. But she says at theme parks, there is this thing called rider switch.
Rider switch.
Rider switch. Write it down, friends. Because it's this thing where the first half of your party can go on with the kid while the other one hangs back. With the little one. And then when the first, you know, parent finishes the ride, the second parent can go on with the little one again.
It's like a bonus.
Usually with like a much shorter waiting time.
Yeah.
You just have to, I guess.
So your kid gets to go twice. You get to both go.
But I guess you like tell
the person at the front of the line, I want to do the writer switch. I don't really know how that works out. Well, somebody should look that up.
Tell us how to do it.
So she didn't say how. Yes. So, guys, check out the writer switch.
Writer switch.
Try it out. See if it works. But then your two-year-old is literally just hanging out in the sun for a really long time.
Well, that's what they're doing anyway. I mean, if you take a two-year-old to Disney, that's what's happening. I mean,
God. No, Orion was like really into the Lego cars and the cars. Oh, if there was a car, right. He was like, yes, cars, running to the cars, you know. Oh, anyway.
Well, listen, we also have to give a little shout out to New Jersey. They just passed something around second parent adoption.
Yeah, go New Jersey.
So basically on January 15th, their governor signed new legislation. And what it's going to do is make it easier for LGBTQ parents to do second parent adoption. So it's basically going to help people. You're not going to have to do the home study anymore, the background checks or the appearances in court for hearings. So it's going to make it cheaper and make it easier access.
And quicker.
Yeah. I mean, proud of New Jersey.
So I guess if you don't have to do the background check, maybe that means you don't have to give your last 30,000 years of addresses, because that's the part I hated the most. They also call it confirmatory adoption. I guess there's a second word for that. I'd never heard confirmatory adoption. Mm. Interesting.
Anyway.
But if you're in New Jersey, you know, you're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheaper, easier, and you get, it's like a, just an easier path to second parent adoption.
So. Hopefully other states follow suit. Like NYC, get on it, please. Get on it so I can get my confirmatory adoption
you're
done.
You're already in the middle of the process. So.
I know, but it's stalled. It's stalled, so... Maybe New York will pass that law before I finish.
How does New York passing it get you out of the stalled state? I'm curious.
Because it's easier than I just go to the lawyer and be like, look, we don't have to do any of this stuff anymore. Oh. You don't need this paperwork. Can you just file, please? You know, I don't know. God. I don't know.
All right. Well, before we get to our kickoff for Women's History Month guest.
Happy Wolf. Women's History Month, too. Yeah.
We want to say thank you, a little shout out to Allie Harper and her wife, Jennifer, who joined us on Patreon.
So, go, go, go,
and
go.
And Allie Harper may or, and Jennifer may or may not be upcoming guests.
They may or may not be, and they may or may not be talking about something that is one of my favorite things in the world.
They are upcoming guests.
I mean, they're amazing.
But anyway, don't forget to check out our Patreon community after you listen to this ep, of course.
Yeah. To kick off Women's History Month, it's really wonderful that we have the guest we have on, though, because she basically made some history.
And she's a badass lady.
Badass in many ways.
So it's Jenna Wolf. She's the former Today Show correspondent, host, and she's also the current host on First Things First on Fox Sports 1. And she's a badass.
She's badass. She also wrote a book.
Called Thinner in 30. Small changes that add up to a big weight loss in just 30 days.
And I may or may not be doing two of those.
Two of those
30 things.
Currently. All right. Well, this was a great interview. Let's roll it.
She's badass. Happy Women's History Month. Let's do this. Badass.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Lise.
Hi. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure.
In person. In person. In our studios.
Right here. I feel like we have a celebrity in here. I mean, we do.
we have a celebrity. It's like it. It's like celebrity-esque. No, celebrity-like.
I have to tell you, Jenna, I know
this
you.
This is where it gets creepy, just FYI.
You don't know me at all.
I live next door to you.
I watch you from across the street.
It's not that creepy, but it is a little weird. I know you from the gym.
Oh, years ago.
Years ago. This is over 10 years ago. I was a personal trainer there.
Oh, wow.
And I used to see you. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love her. I want to train her. I was like, I hope she's gay.
Spoiler alert.
She was.
Yeah, really.
Hence, you're on our podcast.
Awesome. Hey, I'm only tough at the gym. And I will say I'm unapproachable. I have that RBF, whatever it's called, at the gym.
Because you have to be.
RBF, yes.
I am no nonsense.
Yes.
I work as hard as I can.
I'm with you, Jenna.
And then
I'm with you.
Come up
work
to me,
out together.
Say anything you want. I'm approachable. Not always, but for the most part. No, but at the gym, it's no nonsense. I'm there for a reason.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I appreciate that about you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm doing the what is this called? The cosine language?
Do that in class?
Not yet.
They agree with it, it's cosine.
My kids can't coordinate their fingers yet. They're too young. I'm like, Harper, where's your pointer? And she gave me the middle finger. And I was like, we got to work on that.
They're like, it's a start.
I
love it. Well, that seems like a good segue for the elevator pitch of your family and you.
All right, I got to get my timer up.
Jamie, I keep telling you.
Are you going to show me the timer?
There's clocks in the room.
So I can
I'm going to show her the timer, though. She wants to see the timer, Robin. She wants to see the timer.
I'm a TV person. If you tell me to talk for 30 seconds...
She's going to talk for 30
seconds. I want to see if you can nail it. All right. This is,
I'm going to jing that bell.
Accepted.
Here we go.
All right.
On your mark. Get set.
My name is Jenna. My wife's name is Stephanie. We have two daughters, a now 5-year-old recently as of last week, and a 6-year-old. I would describe us as a well-oiled machine that needs a lot of oil. That needs a lot of oil. We come and we go at all hours of the night because of our job. And yet we somehow make it all work. We have a ton of fun. But we are definitely a work in progress to the T.
Time.
Oh,
special.
I don't know how to turn it off.
TV right there.
I know you even used your like your voice.
You did go
did
into
your
I go into
your voice?
I'm sorry.
I'm
when
Jenna
that
Wolf.
I hate it when it happens.
I'm Jenna Wolf. My family.
Sometimes when I don't know what to do, I just go to a commercial break because I'm so used to it. If it's chaos at the dinner table, I'm like, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. I'm like, get your shit together. We're back in 30 seconds.
Makeup.
Right. I'm going to use that. I'm totally going
to
use
that. I say to my kids, I always say, I'm off the clock. Talk to your other mother. I am awesome. Off the clock. Well, let's talk about your family makeup.
Yes. Okay.
So who had the kids? How did we get there?
I had both children. I met Stephanie when she was a correspondent over in London. She was working for NBC and wow. She was basically the European war correspondent for NBC News.
Wow.
She was embedded in Iraq. She spent months at a time in Moscow. She was in Mumbai. Every big event, she had her own flak jacket, helmet. I mean,
she's hardcore.
She would travel with bodyguards and translators. She was hardcore.
You're both hardcore.
No, I was just core. Like, I was like, how do my abs look? I need to really work on my stomach. It was really all about core for me. And I was a sportscaster for 13 years, got a job at the Today Show as the lifestyle and fun, happy, make you laugh correspondent, which I loved it until they made me the weekend host with Lester. And I had to sort of button up and act the part of a grown up, which didn't quite work. I was over in London, long story short, too late. And I was covering Wimbledon. I was trying to make Wimbledon funny. And I walked through the NBC newsroom. We had to use most of their equipment. And then I saw Steph and I was like, okay.
Well, and your eyes locked and it was like,
no, none of that. 5 months later, she came to New York to re-sign her contract. And a year later, we had been dating. We did long distance London to New York for 2 years.
Is she British?
She's not British.
No, right? I didn't think
no,
so.
She's not British, but she's been overseas. She was overseas for 10, 12 years or something. And NBC moved her 2 years into our relationship. And that was it. She moved in.
Yep, as we do.
And
as we do.
Were you guys like, knew you were going to have kids all along?
It was later in life for both of us. We had done everything. I mean, if I forget it, Stephanie's resume reads like War and Peace.
Yeah.
Mine is very funny, but also that long.
Yeah.
I've done absolutely everything. The Today Show had me do absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Sports, I met there was nothing I hadn't done in life. So at this point, it was time to kind of settle down. And over the course of the 2 years that we were doing long distance, we got close enough where we knew this was going to be our thing. I was 37, 38. Mm-hmm. Steph was 39, 40. And we decided we were going to make this a thing. And then if we were going to make this a thing, we should think about having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we started looking, you know, at figuring out what we would do donor-wise while she was still living in London. She travels a ton. Since I hosted the Weekend Today Show, I had to always be in New York on the weekend. So I didn't travel nearly as much.
Yeah.
So I decided I would go first and get pregnant first.
Oh, so originally was it going to be one of you was going to carry each of
we,
you would carry?
We were going to each carry
That's
one.
That's what my wife and I did.
We didn't, though.
Yeah,
we,
no, I know.
But that was
in
the original
end.
Plan.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so I decided I was going to get pregnant first. But then the funny part, which you can make an entire sitcom out of, which—
Somebody should.
Someone should.
Someone
on just how
write that down,
lesbians
Jenna.
Get pregnant. Like, to this day, yeah. I mean, my parents, who are lovely people and are with us all the time, and— you put a gun to their head and ask them how I got pregnant. They could not tell you.
Well, there was some.
They have no idea how I, no clue. And I don't think they want to know.
Right, right.
I think they're like, one day she was pregnant. Oh my God, you're good. The daughters are pretty.
Yeah.
So we went through the whole process. And when she was done with London, basically packing up and ready to move in and move to the United States, we had sort of stumbled upon, or whatever you want to call it, figured out who the donor was going to be. Anonymous donor. And
but then, from, like from a bank.
From a bank, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
4160.
So romantic.
It was very romantic.
So romantical.
That was it. And she came. And again, so I was 39 when I had Harper. Stephanie was 41. The Today Show is wonderful about it.
That's
nice. I'm skipping like 77
yeah,
steps.
I know. We're
going to need to dial in.
We're
going to
dig in.
Okay.
We're going to dig in.
Let's go back to your donor choice. Was that a tough decision for you guys?
Yes. Well, to this day, we have one fight. Everything else we'd agreed upon. The skin color, the hair texture, the eye color, what they majored in. I mean, you can get any, you know, any detail. Yes. What they majored in, their favorite color, their favorite dinner dish, chicken. Ours like chicken.
Right, yeah.
Liked engineering, the sound of their voice, staff impressions. Did you do staff impressions?
Yes, of course. That's what sealed the deal for us was the staff impressions.
I bumped someone out in the staff impressions.
Did you?
We had somebody that was really in the running, and then they were like, he's so handsome. I love him. He looks just like Chris Martin. I was like, bye.
Not so much.
No. Like, no, thank you.
No, actually, it wasn't the staff impressions. It was the audio recording that sealed the deal for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's always something. I mean, everyone sort of stumbles on something. For us, the only bone of contention was height. I mean, she wanted someone, a donor that was 6'2".
No.
I was very happy with like 5'10".
Me too, because I'm really short. I didn't want them to be way taller than
same.
Me.
Same. Well, that's, I was like, this is never gonna be a thing. Like, how is that gonna correlate to how tall our kids are? So we went with sort of closer to her height. Ooh. And now my kids are like centers on the Olympic basketball team.
They're
so tall.
That's
they're
amazing.
Absolute. I mean, they're gigantic.
That's amazing.
Two little girls. But yeah, that was the only thing that we argued a little bit about.
The same donor for both?
Same donor for both.
Good. Did you buy all that sperm up in the beginning, or did you have to go back?
In doing a very loose poll from, I didn't know that many lesbians, but or women who were looking to get pregnant via a donor, the magic number that was told to me was like 11. Get 11 samples.
Really?
It'll take you around 11 times
but
to get pregnant.
And you're fertile myrtle.
Fertile myrtle over here.
Yeah, because it took me way more than that.
We
bought him out of retirement.
Oh, God.
It was a thing. But we got the same donor for both.
Awesome. So.
I don't have the same donor because I sold some of mine back. So I was like, I'm never doing that again. And then after I had the baby, I was like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Really?
And then we tried to get more and it didn't work out. And so we ended up a new donor for my second.
Do you have regrets about that?
No. Listen, I went to Bogota, Colombia to try to
use the same donor.
There was a woman who had also had a kid by the same donor as my first. And she was like, come, I'll give you a vial. And I was like, okay. Because we were like trying to figure out how to get the sperm here. And it was like crazy. And she was like, just bring them. What did she say? Bring the mountain to Muhammad. And I was like, okay. So I went to her doctor, did an insemination. It didn't work. Another lady from Seattle had one left over, sent one. That didn't work. I was like, this is the universe. And then the first time with the next one.
Pregnant.
I got pregnant. Yeah. And I, you know, it's like the way I look at it, I wouldn't have Henry.
Yeah, we like to call it the search for Superman because you get so crazy, like with all of the things
you choose.
You're
looking for perfection.
You're looking. It turns into perfection. Yeah, because you get to choose. So then you start opting people out because they had acne or because
eczema.
That's Robin. Yeah,
you said anonymous, but closed. Or like, will your kids be able to know at 18 if they want to?
No, well, we don't want to, but. Our fear now is with all these DNA kits and with all these DNA testing and with all this ancestry information, they're going to find out.
I mean, they are.
Listen, Stephanie's covers stories like this all the time. They're going to find out.
Yeah.
And you just have to be prepared for it. And if you have an open and honest conversation with your children, and our belief is that they grow up in a loving, caring, nurturing family where they know that this is your family and that was someone who helped you have this family.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ideal, the optimal way for this to play out. I don't know if it will or not. You know, my kids are still young, too young to even understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, we got in an Uber this weekend. It was me and my wife, and it was little Quinny's birthday. So it was Quinn, who just turned 5, and her two friends, and Harper and one of her friends. And we all packed in there, and we barely pulled away from the apartment. And there was this older African-American gentleman driving the Uber. Uh-huh. And out of the blue, she's never done this, out of the blue, the 4-year-old says, Mommy, is that our daddy?
Yep.
I was like, I didn't even know you knew that word, like much less him.
Yeah.
That guy's, of all the men that you've come in, that's the guy you think
He's
is your daddy?
Also.
Okay.
It could happen.
But they obviously don't know yet. So.
Yeah, my kids, I have so many taxi cab stories. Why is it always in the taxi? Why is it always the taxi driver? Always.
Are you reading any books to them about that kind of stuff?
No.
You're just
it's completely normal to them. Mm-hmm. They have two mommies. Other kids have a mommy and a daddy. Some have two daddies.
Mm-hmm.
It has yet to even be a thing that they have come home and even asked us or realized that something is a little bit different.
How did you and Steph, were you guys out at work? How did you guys like?
No, we were out with our friends and our family. But when I got pregnant before I came out to the audience, I guess you call it. Uh-huh. And when I was about 3.5 months pregnant, we had a very serious conversation with the powers that be at NBC, which was you're going to have an option here. Either I'm going to have a baby and no one's going to ever talk about who the father is, or I need to mention what's happening. You guys decide. I don't care.
Really?
Yeah. I said, as long as my family and my friends know, it doesn't matter to me. If that's, I'm not going to lie, mm-hmm. right. but if you'd rather us not say, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. No, we want you to say, we want you to talk about
it. So they were like really open and—
They got together with People Magazine and People Magazine did a whole—
They set up a pressing. They weren't really open, Jamie. They were like, because they knew that if they didn't, more people would be saying bad things out
Probably.
On the side. And
Maybe.
So then instead they got Maybe. In front of their PR person. Yeah.
They really got in front of it. We did a whole big thing.
I love it. I loved it when you came out.
But I did both the coming out and I'm pregnant. The double right. whammy.
Boom.
Sitting next to Matt Lauer on a couch where you don't have time to hem and haw. You know, you're back from commercial break and he asks you a question and everything is timed.
What did he ask?
He said, we're here with Jenna and Jenna, you have an important announcement to make. And then he looked at me. Oof. And I say this often and I believe it firmly that you have two choices in life. It's so funny, I get emotional when I talk about it. Now or too late. So either you do it now or you kind of lost your chance to do it and you have to grab onto one and hopefully it's the former. And I just sort of took a deep breath and realized that as soon as this sentence came out, my life was going to change forever. And I was hoping that it was going to change for the good. And it felt wonderful to say what I said. And I said it and we went to a commercial break and you can Google it. It's believe me, it's all there. Everybody hugged me and they were so wonderful. Aww. But, you know, you have this walk back to your office where you have this fear that the red light on your phone is going to be blinking with people that aren't so crazy about what your announcement is. And I had this fear that it was going to be just you have 37 unheard messages and it was just going to be people who had issue with what I did. And I was beautifully surprised that the red light wasn't on when I got in, that people were fully supportive or somebody was screening my calls. But I'm going to go with the first one. I think the first one was better.
The network was supportive, though, it sounds like.
That's great. That is really great.
That's fantastic to hear.
Because we're not, we're not as big as you, Jenna, but we've recently gotten trolled a little bit on our social, and it doesn't feel good.
Jamie's like, I'm like, Jamie, stop reading it. It's fine.
We've had like a few religious comments.
Rights. Exactly. I'm like,
you're going to get it.
Kills
you're going to get it.
It kills you.
But listen,
did you get any negative, kickback at all?
Nothing that has haunted me. Mm-hmm. Nothing, every once in a while. But it's a little more the lines of, it's a shame that you're gay.
That's a great compliment.
What? Yeah. Exactly.
So that all day long.
Are you sure? That's like my mom. She's going to go back to men someday.
Exactly.
I think she's given that up, though.
Ask her how you got pregnant. And then have her tell my mom. No, it's been a remarkably smooth ride for both of us for the most part, which, again, I'm very happy about. I mean, my dad was very concerned that it would really spoil my career, taint it in some way. Mm-hmm. But it never did, mainly because, when I started in this industry, I sort of made this covenant with the audience. I'll be honest with you if you're honest with me, but you have to accept my honesty and I'll accept yours. You know, if you have a problem with me, okay, but then let me explain myself and accept my explanation. You don't have to agree with it, but just take it. The audience either loves me or they hate me.
You are
very straightforward, but I can also be kind of polarizing in my approach. And I'm okay with that because at least people are watching or they're tuned in or they're paying attention. You may not like my story, but my story is one of so many people that have gone through it. And it is out there now.
Yeah.
Well, and you can sleep at night, right? Because you are yourself. And not just the gay thing, but in general.
Yeah, but I have caffeine late, and then I have a hard time sleeping at night. But in many ways, I feel like you're saying something different.
I might be saying something a little bit different.
No, but if I can put it in my own words, you started your career as a badass. Mm-hmm. You stayed a badass. You're still the same badass. So that's how I see. That's how I interpret what you just said. You're just the same badass.
And in Jamie's head, you're doing burpees while that's happening.
Of course.
I love that.
I wonder, it's so funny. It's like you came out and it just I don't want to say it didn't have any effect, but you were able to just go forward. That's such a wonderful thing.
Listen, if you're going to make a big deal about it, you're probably, your radar is up to only receive either the negative or the aghast or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you're casual about the way you bring it up. So I always say you guys asked me on the show, and I was very specific about the fact that you said, what don't you want to talk about? And I said, I don't really want to talk about politics. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about standing on a soapbox. I don't want to talk about waving a flag or marching mm-hmm. in a parade or being on a float. It's not who I am. I don't begrudge anyone else for wanting to do that. But I am a woman who happens to be gay. Please don't look at me as a gay woman or who happens to do sports. You know, right, don't invite me somewhere because I'm gay. Invite me because I'm a woman who is also gay and holds on to, you know, both of those attributes, or being a female's attribute, you know, equally as firmly. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not who Stephanie is. It's not who a lot of women are. Whoever you are, I'm perfectly fine with. But I'm not on a quest to convince you to be anything other than who you are.
Right.
I'm not on a quest to speed up your timeline if you're not ready to talk about who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I fully get it. And I'm not just talking about what your sexual orientation is. Any insecurity you may have or anything you want to talk about that you're not ready to kind of bring to the forefront, I totally get that.
Like, I'm on a therapy couch with Jenna Wolf as my therapist. I'm going with
you. We
didn't
even get to losing weight or burpees yet.
I know. I feel like we forgot for you to tell us your day that you started your day.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you walked in the studio.
Well, what a day.
Firstly,
yeah.
I'd like to
Pretty
know.
Sure that's not a word.
I nope. know it's not. Firstly, I'd like to know what time you wake up in the morning, because you work early.
I do. I have two schedules. If I work out before work, uh-huh. my alarm goes off at 1:40.
Oh, my God.
I am dressed and out the door at 1:50.
Yes,
I'm
of
at the gym at 2. I work out from 2 to 2:55.
Yeah.
Back upstairs in the shower at 3, and I get picked up at 3:20.
Holy crap.
Do you have a trainer who meets you there?
No, I'm also a certified personal trainer.
So you know what
so
to
I've
do.
Now put everything together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like and to train myself
In order to get
anymore.
Up at 1:45, what time do you need to go to bed?
Mm-hmm. So that's it. I go to bed around 7. But you're going to hate yourself no matter what time you wake up, right?
True.
So you're going to be as tired at 1:45 as you are
it's
at
true.
2:45.
It's
the difference
true.
Is you get a workout out of it. Because I say this to people all the time. When people say, well, how do you get motivated to go to the gym? Or I don't want to go. Because nobody in the history of man and womankind has ever regretted working out.
Ever.
No one has ever said,
ever.
Oh my gosh, I burned so many calories. Yeah. Oh my God, I just got stronger.
I know it. It's a non-negotiable.
Endorphins.
It's a non-negotiable.
So those are the tough days are the days I work out before work, which I have to do tomorrow because I have a long day. Today I was able to get up at 2:30. I was out the door.
I slept in.
It was lovely. It was like vacation. Out the door at 3:15. I'm at work at 3:30. I'm on the air from 6:30 to 9:30, and I'm out the door. And I'm done around 10. I go to the gym.
You go to the gym again?
You go twice?
No. This is if
I
sleep until 2:30, I get the luxury of having to now work out. I also intermittent fast, so I'm sleep deprived and starving.
Yeah.
So it's a lethally wonderful combination.
Hey, Robin.
Jamie.
I have a question for you and our listeners.
Oh, what is it?
Are you a mom who wants to get rid of mom guilt?
Oh my God, yes,
Do you
please.
Have mom guilt, Robin?
I do.
I have so much mom
so
guilt.
So much, all the time.
Or do you want to create more time for yourself?
Of course. Of course
all the time. And live more shamelessly?
Well, I do.
Do you live shamelessly?
No.
I don't know.
Of course not.
I mean, I'm full of shame. I'm full of mom guilt. I mean, it's all over
crap.
There. So here's what we all need to do.
What do we need to do?
We need to check out the Shameless Mom Academy podcast with Sarah Dean. I like her name too. Sarah Dean.
Like Jimmy Dean sausage.
But I bet you she's not related.
But she's way better.
She's probably not related.
Probably not.
You guys can join Sarah every Monday and Wednesday as she digs deep into topics that will help you cultivate more confidence and courage. Who doesn't need that? Build better boundaries and relationships. Mm-hmm. We all need that. And tune into tiny habits that will turn up your life. Turn it up.
You know what I love is that Sarah started the Shameless Mom Academy 4 years ago because, to her utter shock and horror, motherhood was not all rainbows and unicorns.
No.
We could have told her that.
I know. I mean, you know what? Everybody tells you that when you're pregnant. You're like,
you don't
no,
want to listen to it.
It's not going to be my kid.
It's going to be different for me.
I know.
She was like, oh my God, it's actually hard. And
yeah.
sometimes really funny, but always really full of great stories. So she had this burning desire to expose the hidden truths of motherhood. Like, yes, nursing sucks.
I could tell you that.
Yeah, see some of our early episodes.
Yeah.
To help moms get over the guilt of dropping their screaming kids off at daycare and to create a space for moms
hard.
To be more positive and powerful and purposeful. Hashtag every damn day.
Hashtag every damn day. I mean, it's really every damn day we need to work at this.
We really do.
The Shameless Mom Academy, my friends, has been downloaded over 2 million times in over 140 countries.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, you can find the Shameless Mom Academy on any podcast app or at shamelessmom.com. So absolutely, you should check her out. Check that Sarah Dean out.
Good mom podcast for you guys today.
Yeah. Who doesn't need more parenting podcasts?
I mean, we all
we are a member of the Parenting Club.
How's the schedule with you and your, is she your wife? Are you partners or wives?
She's my wife. Okay. Yeah.
Like what, she isn't on a morning show. She's a, is she a correspondent?
She's at night, isn't she?
So we are ships crossing in the night. She is sleeping when I leave. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I'm sleeping when she gets home. She does the Today Show and NBC Nightly News. So if she's live on set, she doesn't get home till 7:30. I'd love to be in bed by 7. Yeah. I like to put the kids down around 7 and then I go right to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's hard. That's why I called it a well-oiled machine that needs a lot of oil.
Yeah.
Because
when do you see
it's
each
not
other?
Easy. We pass sometimes at night when I pass the kids off if she gets home early.
Yeah.
And weekends.
Weekends.
Yeah.
I wonder what'll happen when the kids are staying up a little bit later.
Nope.
You'll never.
Okay. People said that to me when they were 2 and 3. Uh-huh. Then they said it to me when they were 3 and 4. Then they said it to me when they were 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Then they said it to me when they were 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And then that was you. You just brought it up with the 5 and 6. See, I just keep putting them down at the same time. They don't know any better. They've never really seen nighttime.
You're just one of those consistent people that
I'm not. Say, like, I will say this. Like, I have kept 7:15 as the time that screens are done. Like, 7:15 used to be their bedtime. And now, 7:15 is still the time. And they're now 8 and 10, almost 9 and 11.
That's awesome.
Screens are off at 7:15, and they're always like, why can't we stay up later? I'm like, no, I'm like, in our house, screens go off at 7:15. You guys can go in the back half of the house. You can play a bit. Yeah. You can be reading, but like you've had screens. You've done that. We've done dinner, and now you'd be back there. But we're not, you know, like
I'm off the clock.
Right. Yeah, I'm off the clock, but 7:15.
Consistency is the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
I'm not great at it either.
Bedtime is a hot mess in my house. It's a hot mess, especially with my 2-year-old right now. It's not cute.
But it sounds like you are, though. I mean, and I think you'll find workarounds.
Yeah. Listen, there's certain things I'm very consistent on, and I'm very, very good. You know, like, if they want to snack while they're watching a show or they're on the iPad, they know they're only allowed to have fruit. They don't ask for anything else. They know not to ask for anything else.
So it's not the mindless eating?
It is not mindless eating. If they want to mindless eat, it's fruit. And if they've already had 2 portions of fruit, it's vegetables. And if they want to mindless eat on celery, like knock yourself out.
All day long.
Wow, I got to do that.
That's a great takeaway.
I've done that from the day they were born. Yeah. Now, they're still doing, like they get, because I need it. Because by the time 4:30, 5 o'clock rolls around, I'm an absolute zombie. I still have to. They got to get bathed. They got to get changed. I got to pick out an outfit for tomorrow. I got to pick out their outfits. I got to make their lunches. I got to pack bags,
the
homework.
Witching hour for mom.
I'm a disaster. Yeah. And I'm on no sleep at that point.
Yeah.
So I give them, they get the screen for, it's usually a half hour iPad and then an Epi. So they get like a 25 minute Epi or something. Sure. And that gives me enough time to get everything done. Then they come off it, read a book, or tell a story. They want me to tell a story. And then they're in bed. And they're pretty good about going to sleep.
Yeah, I got all that covered except the bed.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Well, you have a book that's about food.
And what's
the name of the book?
It's called Thinner in 30. And it's not about getting thinner in 30. It's about 30 simple, small, easy, bite-sized, doable, little tiny steps you can do one a day. Mm-hmm. If I gave you 30 things to do tomorrow, you're never going to do it. If I gave you one, you would do one. Do one for a week. Just focus on that one. I don't care if you sit in a bathtub and eat donuts for the other 23 hours. Do one thing tomorrow
The
week. And once you're okay with that, now go on to two. Do just those two things. That's it.
That's good.
And it's, I've tried everything. I've experienced everything. I've worked out at every kind of class. Mm-hmm. I've tried every kind of eating plan. This is the best way to create sustainability is to figure out what works for you and what you can incorporate into the life you're already leaving. I don't want you to change your life. Once someone says, hey, I'm going to show you how to change your life. Well, screw you. I don't want to change. This is the life. This is the life that I'm living. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me show you how to take what's healthy for you and use it with the life you're already. I thought that was the most impressive way to create sustainability.
Because I'm a hardcore worker outer. I always have been. And after I had the baby, I can't shake like the last of it. I can't get it off. So
did you see how she was going to say how many pounds it was and then she stopped herself?
Well, I don't want to make it a thing, a numbers. It's 10 pounds.
I know, but I just saw that
10 pounds. But like, I can't. And what I used to do doesn't work anymore because my body's changed.
I bet I could dig down deep into your book
because what
by the end of the podcast, I can help you dig down deep into
that. Uh-oh.
Oh my God, what is it? Let's go.
Seriously, I'm like, tell me. And I'm just going to watch you decide and see if it applies to me.
I'm scared. I'm so scared.
There are scientific studies, major scientific studies, that will show you, even though I could just tell you, that exercise there's no correlation between exercise and weight loss.
No, it's
numbers.
It's a brain thing, too. Exercise for me is mental.
Sure, 100%. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a badass when I do it.
So do I. So do I. I did an insane, like the last 5 days have been wonderful for me. It's all food.
I love you. I know, it's all food.
At the end of the day, even though it's not the right word to use, it's simple.
Right.
Yeah.
But what we do is, you know, we're looking for simplicity in the simplest of ways. So we call it this and we package it this way and we try this. And if you only eat this at this time, this way, this kind of food, this many, all this. And if you've opened up your social media feed, there are 10,000 tablets and diets and pills and keto and this.
Yeah.
1,000 things.
I mean, it's like, that's why I can't even get into it.
Calories in, calories out.
It is. No, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get the book. And when your episode airs that week, I'm gonna focus on one of the things in the book.
Good.
We're gonna do that.
I love
it. We're gonna do that. You too, Robin?
No, see, listen. No, here's why. And we've talked about this. We just had a recent episode where we talked about weight and stuff. I have an absolute food issue. I've lost 60
What's
pounds.
What's the issue?
I have like a food addiction. Like both my parents were like drinkers, and like it lands for me in jamming Snickers in my mouth when nobody's looking. But in the last like 2 years, I lost like 60 pounds, but just by tracking my weight. I work out because I want to feel better and because I want, but it's for me about, it is always about the obsession of food, and being on a food plan removes obsession for me. So I can't be on a diet. I can't be trying to, like, it was like
restrict
I had a
yourself.
Number in mind. Yeah. There can't be any restrictions, but I have to have rules. Without rules, I just go insane.
Right. So obviously that's a bigger issue than food. It's
exactly.
not really about
that's
the
what I was
going
to say. Yeah. It's like my only thing is like when people talk about this, I think there's a whole group of people that do have like complicated relationships with food.
And
because if they could do it, they would. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I'm not talking about people that have actual psychological issues where they're using food as a way to mask what's really going on, or control issues or substance issues. Right. Like I get all of that.
I think it's perfect for me.
Yes.
It's perfect for you.
I think you're going to be my, food guru.
And then we'll work out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we will.
If you want to work out, you want a true badass.
I do, but like I'm not doing it at 1:30 in the morning.
No. I'll do it anytime you want. I'll give you 1 to 10. You tell me how hard you want to work.
Let's do it.
And I will 100% stick to that number.
So you weren't out when you came out as pregnant. Then you had the kids. We talk a lot about this when you came out as pregnant and gay. But we talk a lot about this. Having kids outs you in a major, major way. Like you really cannot be in the closet anymore once you have these kids, because they're outing you on the streets, or they're outing you. Or maybe that hasn't really happened for you yet.
I feel like
well, it did. It just happened in the Uber.
On the Today Show, that's probably just it. I mean, it's like,
you know, it's a little bit different for me because the day after I had Harper, you know, we Skyped with the Today Show from the hospital room.
Yeah.
So it was this, not peek, but a full pull back the curtain to America. Here's me and this woman that I'm raising a family with. She's the other mom, and this is our kid. When we had Quinn, it was the same thing. We FaceTimed or whatever, Skyped with the Today Show. Mm. It was peeling back the curtain. It was, here's me, here I am. I just birthed this second child. Here's this woman that I live with and my wife, and you're both of our kids now. And this is, so we... I think I skipped the step where there was
you just
where
like,
I had to like, oh, we're out now, just because everybody knew us. We walked
everybody
down the
in
street,
America
everyone
knows
knew us
you.
And the, you know, the
well, you
lovely
were in people's homes in like a morning show. Like those are friends to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they were with you on your pregnancy, your journey. And from that point forward, were you talking about like Steph and I this and like.
So I am very cognizant of being out, but not putting it in your face.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because I know who my parents are, and that's the Today Show audience. And my parents love Steph to death. They don't want to know, like, every single last detail. Every sentence doesn't have to be me and my wife, Steph.
Right.
My wife, Steph, and I. You know, I love my Steph.
Steph says.
Right. Listen.
It's time for our Steph Show, Steph Says segment.
Right. So I am very, very conscious of how much I put out there with regards to, you know, my relationship with her. Like, my kids are all over social media, and when we vacation, it's on social media. But I don't... You know, my kids aren't wrapped in rainbow flags, and we're not,
Well, that's probably not just like the gay thing. That's probably like all parts of you. Like you have a job, which is to know who your viewer is.
Right.
And to speak to your viewer.
Just to always understand your demographic.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Across the board, not just on TV, but, you know, when you take your kids to a birthday party or, you know.
Read the room, we call it in my house.
Yeah. If you're getting on an airplane and you're going somewhere. Yeah. You know, just be very careful with the people around you. Not everybody approves or gets it. And I don't need to convince them or convince you. I just want to be happy and I want my kids and my family to be safe.
Right. That's it. Yeah. I've had moments where, like, because you have to decide who you come out to, like, like you're saying. It's like, there's this guy at the coffee cart on the corner on our way to school in the morning, and he's, oh, hi, honey. Hi. Oh, you look so much like mom. I didn't birth her. Oh, look at your little brother. Oh, he must look like daddy. He must look like daddy. And it's like this moment where I'm not coming out to him, you know, but like for my kids, they're seeing me not come out to him. So it's like, it's very layered.
Yeah.
It's very layered. And so now we just don't go to that cart anymore.
So we figured out a great way to solve it.
We avoid it.
We take a different street.
Yeah.
No, I get that. Listen, it happens to me a lot where, you know, oh, your husband must be really tall. Your kids are so tall. And whether my kids are with me or not, I don't bother. The tricky part comes when it's like another parent in the class or someone that you can't really lie that you're going to see around them. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Sometimes when I'm on the phone with someone or talking to kid's doctor or something, the receptionist, and they're like, who's the insurance under? You know, and I'll say, you know, Steph, and they're like, Stephanie or something. And they'll say,
they think,
well, who are you, the mother? And I say, yes. And your husband, and like, they can't, they have a hard time processing, and I don't want to be the one to have to explain it. So it's a little,
I drop in things like, the insurance is under their other mother, Mary, or something, just to try to get it out of the way. Cause it's just like, or like at school, I write the blonde mom, like an email.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Cause it's just like, most of the time it's just, they don't know who's who. Like they're like, I'm sorry. Robin, are you Mary?
Right.
I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, Mary's the dark-haired one and the one who never responds to your emails.
That's Steph.
Yeah.
Oh God, Mary and like, Steph would get along so well.
Please don't send birthday invites to her.
Because our kids will never go to your birthday. Yeah.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Do you think motherhood is crazy?
It is very crazy and hard and
overwhelming.
Everything. It's the hardest job in the world. The hardest job in the world.
But, you know, sometimes I think it can make you feel a little bit isolated.
Mm-hmm,
and, like, if you've ever felt alone in the madness that is called parenthood, which I think you and I have both.
All the time.
I think we got a show for you.
We sure do. It's a brand new podcast from Audioboom, just for all the moms. It's appropriately called Fam for All Moms.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Fam.
Join hosts Susan Yara and Shahrzad Kiadeh as they dive into mom topics that are both hilarious and serious, which we love.
Yeah. I mean, Susan and Shahrzad, they share like sometimes embarrassing experiences along with advice and commentary from experts and friends. And I think that the most recent episode is an episode about anxiety, dealing with anxiety, tackling anxiety, which as a mom, like, that's like your best friend.
All we have is anxiety. Losing our kids, falling out windows.
Yeah, that's all it is. How keeping them out of the pool.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what I love about this podcast, though, is that these two are just real and relatable, and they tackle just about any topic in their lives, whether it's about their kids or marriage or life in general.
They're open books. Mm. We like that. We like open books. This Audioboom original podcast has new episodes every Wednesday and is available on your favorite podcast app right now.
Yeah, and so be sure to search for and subscribe to Fam for All Moms in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favorite podcast app is.
Yeah, check them out. They're nice ladies. We like them.
They're nice ladies. And they're funny and they keep it real.
Keep it real. Keep it real, folks.
Just think it's interesting that like that people have been with you through your whole journey. And I think that does in a way, like I was thinking about the school, like they have to be like, you know, that's Jenna Wolf. And so they know that you're like, you know, that must make your life easier in some ways.
Much. I can't imagine having to start from scratch every time I meet someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 80% of the people I meet already either, you know me, know my story, know
or
Stephanie,
Googled you.
Know her story, or
be
have
honest.
Or have Googled. The teachers do.
Like they're on your wiki.
Yeah. They really totally. Are. And, you know, I don't find it intrusive at all. It's actually easier. It makes my job a lot easier.
Yourself.
There's a lot less, you know, baggage that I've got to unload and unpack at the beginning of a relationship
it's
with someone.
Yeah, that is nice. It's like freeing.
Yeah.
Freeing. It also just means a lot to me that representation matters so much. Like, I love that you are a gay mom out in the media. It just warms my heart. And every time I see you, I'm like, ah, she's one of us. You know,
yeah.
Like, representation really, really matters. So yeah. thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for sharing the story. But I also think it was interesting that you shared too, and I think important to share, that it isn't all parts of you. Like, I used to describe like my gayness as like a Trivial mm-hmm. Pursuit pie. A piece. It was like one piece, but it was not like, you know, being an actor is a piece, being a writer is a piece,
sure.
being a mom, you know, being like XXX, you know, those are all pieces, but it's not all the parts of me.
Right.
And so like, I understand not wanting to be just defined as that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right, that is right, just, right.
I, you know, I would call myself other things first, but like jackass first. And then like,
I would do
second,
that for you
then
too.
Mom. So yeah.
Have you guys found that there's still discrimination in some facets somewhere along the way?
There are the trollers that we're getting on the social.
I mean,
those are
more than
fanatics.
We hear from people in our stories, we hear more in like the foster care adopting world. Like we had an agency on that talked about how open they were. And so then we went out and we're like, you can foster now. And then we got a lot of feedback from people who were like, no, we still face discrimination, you know, for being foster parents or adoptive, you know? So I do think that it does exist. I think it's a lot better, but I think, you know, other countries.
How about this? You asked if Stephanie was my partner, my wife. We weren't going to get married. It was just not a thing that was a priority or it wasn't that important to us. But 8 days before Harper was born, it was made very clear that if anything happened to me in the hospital, Stephanie wouldn't have rights to the baby. My parents would get the baby. And so we had to pull a bunch of strings and we got a judge to come to the apartment. I was like 37,000 months pregnant. And I'll show you a picture when we get off the air. There was me. I'm holding my belly with Stephanie next to me. And I'm like, I do. Like it was coming.
The things we go through.
But that's, you know, which was shocking to me. But and also, you know, we ended up getting married because that helped her adopt the kids. Like there was a lot of,
so
you
she
know, Doma was going
parent.
Around when we were just getting married.
Yeah, she did the second parent adoption.
No, we got married. So she's their legal mother because of through the marriage.
We've heard that you should still do the second parent adoption.
We've had a couple lawyers who are like, if you travel to other countries or if you travel to other states that don't have gay marriage, they can say, don't care.
Right.
They can't. I mean, it's just an
extra protection.
An extra protection. I still haven't done it yet, but.
Are you familiar with the paperwork of what's involved?
Yes, that's why. I've been in the process. Yeah. I've been in the process over a year because this paperwork really annoys me.
Thank you so much for sharing your story like this. You know, it's like Jamie's always saying, representation does matter. And it's just great for people to hear all our different stories and all our different ways that we're out there.
And that is one more thing. That is mainly what we hear from our listeners is that thank you for doing this because I didn't hear my story out there.
Or they don't know how to do it or why or how people are going about it.
Yeah.
Look, it's absolutely my pleasure. I actually don't do a ton of, I'm out on social media. I'm, you know, I'm on television every single day.
Right.
There's a camera near me or on me, or it's very easy to find out what I've been up to in the last couple. But I don't often sit down and stop and talk about my story and how my story came about and what it means to me. And it always reminds me when I do something like this that if there's one person out there, just one person who's even a tiny bit hesitant about timing or how to do it, or if you can help, forget guide someone. You're never going to do that. But if you can help give someone the confidence to say, well, she did it, so I can do it. Or look, she did it on national television, you know, in front of the world where the world could have reacted very differently.
Yeah.
And she was ballsy enough to stand up and said, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And maybe it gives someone a little bit of strength to do something similar. So it's that kind of stuff that I'm very happy about. Makes me very happy.
And we are so lucky that you came. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It really means a lot.
Are we going to work out?
Jamie's getting out of
calendar
right now.
You sure?
Yeah, we're going to figure this out.
Okay.
Yes. Wow.
Oh, Jamie, you just opened up a can of worms. She's going to beat the crap out of you in a workout.
I know.
I mean,
she
posted some video recently of her on the beach, and she was doing some weird thing with her body where she was just like flinging it around, and you could just see her abs. I was like,
she's all abs.
Like she's fucked.
Listen, I can hold my own, but I am a little bit scared that she's going to even turn it up even higher.
She definitely is. It's a competition.
She's going to turn this. I'm not competitive in any way. I'm always the person who's like,
so
you can win. It's okay. No, I'm not. I'm like, you can win. It's fine. I don't care. But yeah, I did just sign up for something I'm a little worried about. So I am going to be kicking my workouts into high gear.
getting ready for her.
To gear up for this.
All right. Well,
it's amazing.
Let's just keep this conversation going. If you have anything to say about who's going to win between the Jenna and the Jamie off.
It's not a win or lose. What is wrong with you?
On our social media.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah.
So, ovaries talk on Twitter, ovaries_talk on Insta. If these ovaries could talk Facebook, don't forget we get that little community of listeners within Facebook.
Patreon also.
.com/ovaries talk.
Yes. And I think there'll be a nice video of Jenna talking.
Yeah. Talking about her 30.
Thinner and 30.
Yeah. Thinner and 30.
Small changes that add up to a big weight loss in just 30 days.
Yeah. We got some bonus content of her talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And there's going to be bonus content of Jamie working out with Jenna Wolf. I will see to that. All right.
I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill it. I don't know if I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill it.
I have faith in you, Jamie.
It's going to be fine.
I got faith in you.
She's just going to turn it up even more when she sees, oh, she's okay. And then she's going to turn it up even harder. Like, she's going to win no matter what. It's not a win or lose. Stop, Robin.
I didn't say I'm just staring at the door. Oh, my
anyway,
God.
Thanks. All right. Ovaries.
Out.
Out.
If the ovaries could talk, they would say, ex-ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.